Welcome to this portion of Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to have a visit with a former U.S. attorney, Kendall Coffey, and we're going to talk primarily about Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court nominee by President Trump, and his hearings will be coming very soon. Also, we'll be talking about the Manafort trial update. And in fact, Kendall, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Sure, and I'd like to go ahead and have you start with some comments about the Manafort trial. And the most important thing is to know, what does all this have to do with Trump? Now, obviously, Trump's campaign advisor, campaign director at one point was Paul Manafort. And he's been on trial now, and it seems like a very serious thing, but it seems like all the problems are mainly Manafort's as opposed to Trump's. But I don't know. Enlighten us, if you would.
Well, that's absolutely the case. The trial and the evidence has nothing to do with his time working with the Trump campaign, and it's stuff that preceded it by years. Nevertheless, I think in terms of public perception, they're going to continue to see or hear or read that he was Trump's campaign manager, which he was. It wasn't for a long period of time, but for at least some months, and stuff that involved or was connected somehow to Russia, which is somewhat true. It was a pro-Russian Ukrainian political group that Manafort was receiving money for, not for things that had anything to do with Trump or for elections in the United States, but for political consulting services that Manafort received a lot of money for, and according to the government, didn't pay taxes on and funneled through offshore accounts. So nothing to do with Trump, but plenty of kind of sensational things that I think will, if there is a conviction, somehow add some momentum to the Mueller investigative team.
Now, what's strange about this, and I didn't even follow the trial that much, but it sounded like the defense didn't really do much. They just kind of waited for the closing arguments, and then they just spoke, and that was it. And then, as far as the jury deliberation, as of this recording, to my knowledge, they have not yet weighed in, to my knowledge.
No verdicts yet. Some interesting questions on Thursday. But it is a pretty standard and frequent defense strategy to rely on bringing out their arguments, their issues, their facts by cross-examining the prosecution witnesses. And then at the end of the prosecution case, taking the position that the prosecution hasn't met its burden. They haven't proven guilt, much less guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. And the defense did everything they could to put Rick Gates on trial, the former Manafort deputy who turned, as I say, state's evidence and became a star witness for the prosecution. They went after him with everything they had and tried to, as much as they could, make it a trial about Rick Gates not being a believable witness for the prosecution, who turned against his former boss, Paul Manafort, in order to save himself with a sweetheart deal with prosecutors.
Yeah. And by the way, let me go ahead and just timestamp this discussion. And that is, we are talking right now on Monday, August 20, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, going back to the Manafort trial, in the big sense of things, the Mueller investigation, President Trump has called it a witch hunt. What are your thoughts about that? It seems like, whatever collusion there was involved with Russia seems more to be on the Clinton side of things, you know, when you look at, that the Steele dossier and all that stuff.
Well, here's what we haven't seen many, many months after this investigation began. Evidence that the Trump campaign was participating in some kind of criminal conspiracy with operatives of the Russian government, because collusion, and I know this term is thrown out a lot, but there isn't actually a crime of collusion. The crime is a criminal conspiracy, meaning to agree to do something illegal. Have we seen any evidence at all that anybody with the Trump campaign was involved conspiring with Russian operatives to do computer hacking, conspiring with Russian operatives to go out and plant Google ads or do whatever the Russian operatives were supposedly doing to mess with the U.S. elections. No evidence whatsoever. So after this many months and this many charges brought against a number of people for different things, it's a pretty safe bet that that evidence simply doesn't exist. And what we're going to continue to see is discussions about things that are related in some broad way to Russia, but not at all dealing with a criminal conspiracy with operatives of the Russian government.
I can't feel almost as if, I can't help but feel that it's as if some people are saying, well, we didn't like the election results, so we're going to go ahead and just harass Donald Trump with these investigations and until he resigns or, you know, something happens bad.
Well, and I don't mind admitting I'm a Democrat, and there is a Democratic theme that seeks to discredit the election, but I don't think there's any evidence that Russian operatives were clever enough to actually adjust the voting tallies, that a vote that was cast for Hillary Clinton was erased, or a vote was manufactured to vote for Donald Trump. We haven't seen any evidence of that. And again, we're many, many months after the election. Speaking as a Democrat, I hope, and I think the Democrats at some level should recognize it, to keep complaining about the election and whatever the Russians did or didn't do to affect the election results isn't going to solve the problem. The problem is getting a message that will resonate with the public. So looking backward and blaming Russia or blaming James Comey for his late October announcement, whatever it is, doesn't really accomplish anything at this point, either for the country or, frankly, for the Democratic Party.
All right, let's shift gears and talk about Brett Kavanaugh. Apparently you worked with him at one point, at least on one particular project.
It was brief, but it was intense. You may remember in 2000, one of the biggest cases of the year until the election recount matter emerged was the Elian Gonzalez case, six-year-old boy who whose mother and others perished at sea, but who somewhat miraculously survived and came ashore in South Florida. Huge international issue over whether or not he would be returned to his father in Cuba or whether he would be allowed to stay in the Democratic Society with his U.S. relatives. Ultimately, we know that that he went back to Cuba. But along the way, I was very involved in the federal court litigation. In the latter stages, Brett Kavanaugh and one of his colleagues volunteered pro bono to help us in the case so that the issues of the case could be presented fairly to the U.S. Supreme Court. And he did a magnificent job and was a magnificent colleague. And every positive thing you would want to say about a person or lawyer would be the kind of things you'd say about Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, okay, so was he for the little boy staying in America, or was he for the father being able to be reunited with his son and therefore go back to Cuba, or how did that work?
Well, I would tell you this might seem remarkable, but he didn't take in his work a position on that issue. What the issue was that he wanted to present to the Supreme Court was the power of federal agencies, because interestingly enough, the Elion appellate decision, the one that decided the issues, was not about what was best for Elion. It wasn't really about the rights of the father. It was about whether the federal courts should stand back and let agencies decide critical points of law. And that's an issue that we're hearing about a lot right now in terms of the power of federal agencies. That was of interest to Brett Kavanaugh then, probably still is, because ultimately, if you read the case, you'll see that what the court said was this was within the power of the immigration agency to decide, rather than a matter that a federal court could consider for itself. So it sounds like a technical issue. It's not as glamorous as a lot of things we talk about, but it was ultimately an issue in that case of the power of federal agencies and whether there should be less power to decide legal questions.
Now, in a couple of weeks, we will see the hearings of Brett Kavanaugh. I imagine there's going to be some fireworks because there's a lot at stake. And what are your comments in advance of these hearings, especially about Brett Kavanaugh, his demeanor, his professionalism, his ability? Do you think he would be a good Supreme Court justice?
Well, he gets A-plus on ability, writing skills, human qualities, being a courteous and gracious individual and professional. What I think some of the attention will focus on is the question of investigating presidents of the United States. He was one of the top people in the Ken Starr investigation of then-President Bill Clinton, and he was aggressive, and he was a hard-charging prosecutor in that role. Some years later, he looked back, and I think it reflects maturity, the ability to kind of think about things anew and reach different conclusions. But years later, he looked back and wrote articles indicating that maybe it wasn't such a great thing for America to have the presidency turned upside down with an investigation like the Clinton investigation. So he'll get questions about that. He'll get questions about whether or not he could weigh in fairly as a Supreme Court justice on the questions of, involving a investigation of Donald Trump. For example, can the special counsel subject the president of the United States to a grand jury subpoena? So I think those issues will get a lot of attention, but I think it reflects fairly upon a person when they can evolve and reach different conclusions about different beliefs that they had earlier, because frankly, that's something that that is needed among public officials and public leaders. We don't always get it right the first time, and sometimes over the years we think differently and perhaps more wisely about things.
In the case of Clarence Thomas, when his hearings were taking place, everything was kind of, there was a lot of opposition and so forth. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came Anita Hill. Do you expect any kind of surprise witness or something to try and bring down the Brett Kavanaugh nomination?
None whatsoever. I think what's going to happen is he has a large body of work, both as a federal appeals court judge, as an attorney with the Bush administration, and to some extent, as an attorney in the Ken Starr investigation. So I think, rather than any issues of allegations of personal misconduct, I mean, his personal character is exemplary. I think they're going to just be examining things he might have said or arguments he might have made as a lawyer, perhaps even as a judge, but especially as a lawyer during his earlier years. I think that's what opponents of his nomination are studying and dissecting even as we speak right now.
Yeah. So we'll probably be hearing a lot about the Ken Starr, I almost said Inquisition, but the Ken Starr report and so forth, and Brett Kavanaugh's involvement in that in the next couple of weeks. I can imagine so. Any concluding thought in our short little visit, Mr. Coffey, Kendall Coffey, former U.S. attorney?
My thought is that as to the Manafort trial, still a substantial likelihood of conviction on at least some of the counts. Hopefully the public will understand this had nothing to do with President Trump and nothing to do with so-called Russia collusion. With respect to Brett Kavanaugh, I think what people will see is he's likely to get confirmed. He's an outstanding person, whether you agree or disagree with his legal philosophy. In my top of the head rank speculation is that he will not be a rigid doctrinaire. He's a conservative guy, and he'll remain conservative. But I think he's going to be an interesting Supreme Court justice, if confirmed, to watch over the next 23 years.
Hmm. Okay. Former U.S. Attorney Kendall Coffey, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thanks for having me.